Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire. On today's program, Jim Haller, retired bank executive and former Baylor basketball coach. Hosting the conversation is Dan Ingham, co-host of Baylor Game Day and vice president of First National Bank of Central Texas. This program was recorded January 1st, 2018 in the KWBU studio.
You're listening to the Central Texas Leadership Series. I want to thank you for joining us. My name is Dan Ingham, and it is my distinct honor today to get to interview a friend, a mentor, a former co-worker, coach, broadcaster, banker, volunteer, community leader. He's got a long resume. Jim Haller will be chatting with us about leadership, his life, share some great stories, hopefully, over the next half hour or so. Jim, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dan. Always look forward to visiting with you, and I love KWBU, so I'm happy to be here.
Loyal listeners of this program will know that you've been a part of it before, too.
And that was fun, but this is quite awkward, to tell you the truth, sitting on the other side of the microphone is... And I'll look forward to it.
And we'll certainly talk about being on the mic is not anything new to you. You've been in broadcasting for several decades now, but I kind of want to start at the beginning. I think a lot of folks would just be interested in your background. Just take us, where'd you grow up?
Goodness.
And let's go back that
far. Well, since I'm up in years, this may take a while.
That's okay.
I was actually born in San Diego, California, way back in 1945. My dad was in the Marines, and that's where I was lucky enough to be born, and I still love to go back there and visit. San Diego's a great place, but I basically grew up in Dallas. I had all my schooling, graduated from Thomas Jefferson High School in Dallas, where I was fortunate enough to be on a state high school championship team, and that will go into this, but that's how when I decided I really wanted to be a coach. I love my high school coach. And I ended up playing for him at Sam Houston State University, where he became the head coach. And so I got my bachelor's degree there. And then I went on to – I used to not say this when I coached at Baylor, but I got my master's degree at Texas A&M and worked there for Shelby Metcalf. And I loved that experience. And then I started my coaching career. So that's how I got to there. But along the way, I was fortunate enough to meet a lady named Judy Robbins, who we have now been married over 50 years and have two wonderful daughters, Rebecca, who now lives in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. And she's all the way up there to 47 years old. Hard for me to believe, but she's got three children, three great-grandkids. And then I've got a youngest daughter, Kimber. The oldest daughter went to Texas A&M. The youngest daughter, Kimberly, went to the University of Texas. And she's got two kids, and she lives up in Sherman, Texas. So that's kind of where I came from.
Good deal. All right. Well, let's go back to that high school coach. What was his name? And
well,
why were you such – what made him such a good coach? And
well, he was a great teacher, great coach. He actually became a hero, kind of touching. I was a pallbearer in his funeral, and he taught me a lot. But I stuck in his program all through high school and then in college, and it was interesting. He was coaching at Sam Houston State still when I became head coach at Baylor, and we then had a very professional career together, and he just inspired me to want to be a coach.
Not every kid gets a coach like that necessarily. Most coaches are good folks and good folks, but someone who leaves an impact like that on you, I mean.
Well, it was interesting, Dan, because it was just more than like in high school, because he had a summer camp up in Colorado, and it was basically a basketball camp that just about our whole team attended. In fact, I went to Thomas Jefferson in Dallas. We had players there from Hillcrest, Highland Park. So we were all up there several summers together. And so I worked for him up there. I was the camp garbage man. He gave me basically a scholarship to attend. And so, you know, I had so many opportunities to be so close to him. And it was just interesting, the things that he taught me that I remember still today. And one of those, you don't always have to be the most talented, but you can outwork a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that stuck with me.
It's pretty good advice, not just in basketball, too. Yeah. Why basketball?
Well, I was like most kids. I grew up. I was fortunate enough to play on a little league city championship baseball team in Dallas. I played football. I did just about everything, but basketball was always my first love. I played end in football. Loved to catch passes, but I like to make baskets better. Yeah. So I just always loved basketball. And then after I finished my bachelor's degree and went to Texas A&M and got my master's and got exposed to the old Southwest Conference, that really lit my fire then to travel around with that team and see the competition and learn to recruit and learn to do all kinds of things. And a lot of interesting stories developed there that I could go on and on for hours talking about here. But that all that together just really wanted made me want to be a coach.
All right. So you, you decide you want to be a coach. Your A&M experience overall, even though – we are in Baylor country, a pretty positive experience.
Oh, wow. Believe it or not, while I was at A&M, I very much respected Baylor and always thought that'd be a great place to coach. Always liked Waco, and I liked the image that Baylor University held. And then when I had the opportunity to come here, that was like a dream come true. But before I got here, after I finished my master's, I coached high school ball in Austin for 4 years at McCallum High School and then at Austin High, and we were fortunate enough to be successful. And amazingly, I was offered the head basketball coaching job and athletic director at MCC. And when I came up here to interview, I just could not believe the campus and Lake Waco and all the good things that I really didn't. I said I liked Waco, but I didn't know that part of the city existed. It was a long way off LaSalle Boulevard. Used to be the highway when I first started going through here. But anyway, I just fell in love with it. And I went back and I told Judy, my wife, I said, goodness gracious, if they ask me back for a second interview, you've got to go with me. You can't believe this campus, how beautiful it is. So they ended up asking me back. And Dr. Wilbur Ball was the president at the time. And they offered me the job, and I took it. And believe it or not, we won the Texas State Junior College Championship. And after that, just that 1 year, I was offered some very enticing assistant coaching positions at some good major colleges. And fortunately, one of them was right here in Waco. Carol Dawson was the head coach, and Bill Menifee had just retired as head coach, and Carol Dawson offered me the top assistant coaching position, and the rest is kind of history. It was great.
And then you become the head coach. What kind of, since this is the Central Texas Leadership Series, what kind of leadership qualities does a good coach have?
Well, I think what most people don't realize is you have two things, in my opinion. You have to be an outstanding teacher. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people can read a book and study the X's and O's, but you've got to be able to teach what you want your team to do. And then even on top of that, I always thought communication was the key. You can be a good teacher, but you have to be able to communicate to get that across. And I always thought, especially in recruiting, you had to have a relationship, a communication spark with somebody to be successful, whether they were playing for you, whether you were recruiting them or whatever. And I always loved that part of it. Still do today. I love communication.
How much did you grow as a leader from, like, say, day one when you're coaching at Austin High or McCallum to when you're coaching at Baylor? I would think that's a growth process.
Well, there is no doubt. I mean, it's like you're in the banking business now after being a TV personality for a long time. After coaching, you know, I learned to be a banker. Well, you learn to be a coach, but coaching is so different on different levels. At high school coaching, you are learning to be a teacher, I was the backfield coach in football.
Yeah.
So I learned to coach football. I learned to coach basketball, but I also learned to be a good history teacher. There were lots of things that went along with that. Well, then when you come to a major college or junior college, like I had the privilege at McLennan Community College, you have to learn how to recruit. And then you have to learn how to coach just a little bit better because the coaches you're working against are a little bit better. So, yeah, and life, you learn something every day. I mean, even at my age, I learn something every day.
All right. So when you were a high school teacher, did you enjoy that, being in the classroom?
Loved it. That was one thing I really missed when I got to college coaching.
That's great.
And that was goes back to the communication and the relationships you develop with students. I still see today many, many young people that I taught history to in Austin. And then, you know, you carry on that. When I got to Baylor, I had the biggest, I'm proud to say this, the biggest sports camp in the state of Texas right here on the Baylor campus. And those young people that came to my camp, I see them all the time, all over the country. I mean, we were eating lunch this year in Denver, Colorado, and a young man came up and said, "I went to your basketball camp back in 1981.
That's gotta be incredibly
things
gratifying.
Like that is so much fun. And then to see what they have become. This young man had become a lawyer. And just yesterday, for example, my youngest daughter was on a charter airplane flight on business, and there was 10 of them on the flight, and she said, one person asked her if she ever went to summer camp, and she said, "No, always sold Snickers and Dr. Pepper at the Baylor basketball camp." And the guy that was sitting near her said, "Baylor basketball camp, I went there in 1979. And she said, "Well, then I probably sold you a Snickers or a Dr. Pepper." So things, I mean, that's just amazing to me. And she told me the young man's name. And believe it or not, I remembered it. That's really cool. I love it.
I believe that. All right. For those of you who are just joining us, this is the Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Dan Ingham. Lucky enough to have a conversation with Jim Haller, community leader, former coach, banker, volunteer extraordinaire. We're talking about leadership and his life. You touched on it. You made the transition from coaching to banking. Not many people make that transition.
Well, but I was
lucky.
Walk
us through that decision.
Well, what's crazy is always back in when we had career day in high school, it's funny, I always went to coaching and banking. Those were the two, you know, athletics or banking. And so I was fortunate when I left the coaching ranks way back in 1985, believe it or not, that I had the opportunity to have some really good business opportunities in Waco. I was offered some really nice positions, but the one that appealed to me the most was to go into the banking business. And our chairman, of course, and still today, where you work, took my place.
Yeah.
Monty Hulse was the chairman, and the First National Bank of Central Texas, and that was a fabulous decision for me because the job in marketing and public relations and what have you was what I enjoyed the most about anything I ever did. And I've always liked to help people, and one of the first things Monty said to me, and Clyde Martin, who was our president, said, "We want you to really be involved in the community and try to do what interests you and what would help our bank and whatever." And that was great for me. And I really had the opportunity to meet a lot of people, help a lot of organizations, be involved. And you like being involved civically. I like being involved civically. But what was great, I worked for a company that encouraged that.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky in
very,
that sense.
Very much so.
We say we have to go to a board meeting. They say, go for it.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
We're pretty fortunate.
Yeah.
I don't have to explain myself. It's pretty nice. We're pretty lucky.
Yeah.
What were some of the challenges for you? Because, I mean, it is still a new business. What were some of the challenges? I can probably relate to some of them, frankly.
Well, yeah. I mean, the challenges, of course, was learning the customer base, learning who would be good prospects for the bank. There's niches in everything. Every company has a niche of what they're looking for. And after I learned that, I became a lot more comfortable. And then just allotting my time properly to be involved with different organizations. And when I got involved, I mean, Monty would always say, "Well, now, if you want to really work up into leadership of that organization, to, you know, don't be hesitant to commit the time to it. So I was fortunate that I got to be involved with a lot of very successful civic organizations here.
Well, let's touch on that. You've been involved with, there's a big organization in town, you've been involved with most of them at some
point.
Well,
and I feel fortunate because that's given me the ability to meet so many wonderful people and help so many great causes. And I mean, I've been certainly not bragging here, but I just have been so honored. I've been chairman of the board of the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. I've been president of the board of the Waco Boys and Girls Club. I've been chairman of the board of the Heart of Texas Fair and Rodeo. I mean, I've been chairman of the Waco Foundation Board. I mean, you can, in all of those, as I look back, were just helped me more than I felt like I helped them. And it's just those relationships have carried on till this day. And I still love helping groups that I think are worthy of our efforts.
Well, if you were talking to someone who was like, man, should I devote the time? And obviously everyone's got their own life. They got to do what they got to do. But I feel the same way you do. If you were trying to convince someone why they should get involved in civic organizations, what would you tell them?
Well, first of all, you've got to have a passion for whatever the organization is. I was visiting with someone this morning about a possible sponsorship that, I'll be just be honest with you, and here on the air, my newest passion is Meals on Wheels. The day I retired from the bank, I started delivering Meals on Wheels, something I always wanted to do. And now I've been asked to go on that board, and that's something I've learned a lot about. And but it's a it is a passion of mine, and I felt the same way when I helped Fuzzy Friends Rescue, knowing what they do. Same thing with the Heart Association, the American Cancer Society. You just go on and on. I only really help the organizations that I feel like I can make a difference, and they need all of our help. Yeah. So I'm you know, but then you've got organizations that you belong to, like you and I are members of the Rotary Club. Yep. Well, I love what the Rotary stands for and all our camaraderie and communications there. And you can go on and on, but it's all meaningful to me.
That's great. I meant to ask you this earlier. We kind of want to go back to basketball a little bit. And you don't have to name specifically if you don't want to, but like, what are some traits in good basketball coaches, because you're around them all the time, that you respect? And maybe some things about the coaches here locally, you know, Kim Mulkey and Scott Drew, that make them good leaders.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about this answer. And I mentioned a while ago about athletes. The coaches that work the hardest are usually the one that reaps the most success. And you mentioned Kim Mulkey and Scott Drew and their staffs. It's unbelievable how many hours a day those people work year round. And so I would say the coaches that work the hardest, and there's so much of that. I mean, you talk about college, you're not only talking about preparing your team to play, but you're making sure your players are getting that degree. You're making sure you're in contact with top recruits. You have to be able to give all the virtues of your university, why that's a good match for that student athlete. There's a lot that goes into it, but never anything is more important than hard work.
That's right. Do you enjoy getting to – now, since you've been a broadcaster for so long, and we'll touch on that a bit, but do you enjoy getting to kind of peek into these coaching staffs and see what they do, kind of scratch that coaching itch a little bit?
Oh, there's – Dan, and I mean this most sincerely, I would be a 10 times better coach now than I was when I coached because of my broadcasting experiences, getting to go and watch all these great coaches teach and coach. Yeah. I've observed so many styles over the years, and if current coaches could take a sabbatical and be a sports announcer and go to all these practices for a year, it's amazing how much you would learn. And I mean that very sincerely. I would be a lot better coach.
You're saying John Gruden might be a really good coach
for
the Raiders next year?
Well, yes, I think so. I think, for
he's
sure.
He's been in all those meetings. That's great. Broadcasting. How did that come about?
Well, this is very interesting. When I left the coaching world, believe it or not, just one day, a network – well, I'm going to go back. Back when I was coaching, we had an off Saturday night, and I got a call. I can't even remember exactly which network it was. It says, we're looking for a guest analyst to work the TCU-Texas A&M basketball game in a couple of weeks in Fort Worth. Well, Dan, this was an unbelievable experience. The person that I worked with that night as the play-by-play man was Vern Lundquist, who's probably the greatest there's ever been or close to it. Anyway, he was the play-by-play man. I'd never done any color analyst work. I'd never analyzed a game on the air. And when I got there, Vern Lundquist just said, Jim, you and I are just having a conversation about what we're seeing on the court. And that's kind of the philosophy that I've taken doing all of this over the years. But to go back to your original question, after I left coaching, I got a call one day from Fox Sports Southwest, really, is who it was. And they said, we've just added the Nebraska-Oklahoma game to our coverage, and we would like to know if you'd like to try this out in a month. And that was in Lincoln, Nebraska. So I flew up there and met with the producer, the director, and I was fortunate. The play-by-play man that night was a guy that really became one of my real mentors in the broadcasting business, a guy named Bill Land, who's now the voice of the San Antonio Spurs.
He used to work in Oklahoma.
Tulsa. Well, yeah. Bill and I ended up doing a lot of games together, but he was the play-by-play man that night and just made me very comfortable. He said, look, I'm going to throw the whole ball of wax to you. You're going to do the halftime interview. You're going to do the pregame interview.
Congratulations.
I said, well, you got to tell me what to ask. He said, no, you just go out there and have a conversation. Whatever's on your mind, just do it. And so I remember I interviewed a guy named Stacy King that was the center for Oklahoma.
Went to the Bulls.
And, and we had a good visit. And then, but anyway, that was the first game I ever did. And then from that point – I had the opportunity to do the Dallas Maverick games, believe it or not. That very next year, they had seen.
Now, was that TV or radio?
That was TV. And they had seen, or they asked to get the tape of that Oklahoma-Nebraska game, and went up there and had several visits with them, and did the Mavericks for several years. And then, be truthful about it, after the third year, they said, look, we want to try something here. Our ratings are not as good as we think they could be. I said, hey, I totally understand, whatever. They said, well, we're going to try to bring in a real big-time announcer to do the color analyst work. And I said, well, that's fine. And they said, well, we've already talked. You're going to get to do all the college games you want, which was music to my ears. But anyway, I said, well, who are you going to get? And they said, well, we've had conversations already with Bill Walton and Rick Barry. I said, well, that's two pretty big ones. So they ended up hiring Bill Walton, but he only lasted a year. And then they said their ratings were the worst ever after that. Not Bill's fault. It was just a bad team.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went on and just did college broadcasting from then on and have loved it and done games basically all over the country.
Was it fun to watch the NBA game, though? Because you probably hadn't been around it as much at that point.
Yeah, but I never liked the NBA as much as I liked college because I didn't feel like the spirit was there. I love the bands, the cheerleaders, the fervency of the crowd. The pros didn't have that. It was a job to them.
Yeah, it's a career. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Central Texas Leadership Series. My name's Dan Ingham. Happy to be talking with Jim Haller, community leader, former coach and banker, talking broadcasting, basketball, banking, and much, much more. You mentioned how you fell in love with Waco. Why have you stayed here this long?
Well, I'll be truthful with you. I've had a lot of opportunities to leave, bigger money, bigger jobs or whatever, in many different careers, broadcasting being one of them, other businesses. But I just love the community. I love the spirit here. I love all there is to do here. And one of the reasons why I would never leave is after having been involved with all these civic and charitable organizations, I learned so much about our city that I just love. I love the fact that we have great junior college athletics here. We have major college athletics here and one of the great conferences in the nation. But besides all the sports and the civic work, I love culture. I love our Waco Symphony. In fact, I'm going to it tonight. I love the art museums. I love all the Mayburn Museum. Dr. Pepper Museum. You can just keep naming it. I just like what our town has to offer. When our grandkids come here, they love it. Our daughters still love it here. My son-in-laws even like it here. So, no, I just think it's a great place to live, work, and play.
I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
This is my home for a long time. I feel the same way. But it's nice to hear people say it, you know, that to actually verbalize, hey, this is a great place to live.
Well, and isn't it nice to hear outsiders saying more about that now? I think everybody that's aware of Waco is – there's no sense in hiding the fact that Chip and Joanna Gaines have had a huge impact on the image of our city with Fixer Upper. And wherever you go, you hear that brought up and people saying so many nice things about what they've seen on TV and all of that. And you can just tell by the economy, things are relatively in a boom situation right now.
It's a good time to live in Waco.
Absolutely.
We're pretty fortunate. Yeah. I moved here in 2003. And when I moved here, people were like, oh, you're moving to Waco. And now they're like, hey, can we come visit?
Yeah.
Which it's really cool. I'm
almost tempted to go put in a food truck. I see all of them doing so well.
We're doing it wrong,
I think,
Jim.
That would really be fun. But it is just to see the new image of Waco. Yeah. It's wonderful.
And it's only going to get better, too.
Right.
We've got good leadership in this town. When you talk about in terms of leadership in Waco, what are some – do you think there's any needs in that area, or what do you think we need as a community to keep on growing?
Well, I think the biggest concern, and I was just at a meeting with some of the Waco Chamber of Commerce leaders, is we've got to keep cultivating young folks to take the spots of some of the older people that have been in leadership roles for a long time. And I think the young people just need to be exposed more to all there is to do, the organizations that they can help. It's just got to keep evolving. And if you go now to many of the civic organizations or the charitable organizations, there's a lot more older folks than there are young folks. So I would say that would be the key is to keep getting more of these outstanding young people to stay in Waco after they graduate from either Baylor or come back here after they finish college somewhere else. And that's happening more and more. And, you know, just reading in the paper today, Coca-Cola's putting $25 million into the Coca-Cola plant here, and you can go on and on about other industries, and that's just all a big, big plus for things to come in our city.
What fills your days nowadays?
Well, fortunately, it's whatever I want to do, when I want to do it, dressed how I want to do it, but every day I work out. I also play tennis two or three mornings a week. But I still, like I mentioned earlier, I enjoy delivering Meals on Wheels. I still do a lot of work with the Waco Chamber of Commerce. There's lots of ours still do things with many other organizations, but I don't have any trouble staying busy, and I've never been bored a day in my life and haven't been since the day I retired.
That's a good way to live. That's Jim Howler. This has been the Central Texas Leadership Series. Jim, you're a friend. You've been a mentor to me. We're lucky to have you in Waco, and we're lucky to get to chat with you for 30 minutes.
It's been my pleasure, Dan. Thank you very much.
All right. Once again, this has been the Central Texas Leadership Series here on KWBU.
This program was recorded January 1st, 2018, in the KWBU studio. This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org under the Programs tab, Central Texas Leadership Series.